Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 432. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 257, Traffic. And we had a little discussion right before the episode started. So basically, in Night Vale, the weather is a song and traffic is a story. But then you had a funny comment about exactly like what traffic actually is.
Yeah, because with traffic, every once in a while, the story will have something to do with actual traffic. So traffic has more to do with traffic than the weather has to do with weather. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that makes perfect sense. But the basic idea of today's story from Night Vale is that Cecil decided to take the new rideshare option that Detour is offering because they've got this amazing idea where they send a bigger vehicle around and people can pay a small fee to all ride on the big vehicle together. And some people get off and some people get on. Isn't, you know, venture capitalists, don't they come up with the most amazing ideas?
Yeah, yeah. So if that was too much for you, they have reinvented the bus.
Uh-huh, yeah. The problem is that there is actually a lot of traffic and it is taking forever to get in. Cecil has called the station and they're patching through his audio from his phone, but he doesn't have good audio and he doesn't have breaking news. So he's just going to report on the traffic.
So the first thing he reports on is there's a huge traffic jam on Galloway Road, which he knows because he's in the traffic jam. Mm. And what he does for this whole segment, he's just reporting on how everybody else is handling the traffic jam, but that involves looking at people and seeing that they're talking but not being able to hear them and just inventing the imaginary conversations that he thinks they're having, like a woman talking with her daughter, and you can tell from what he imagines the mother saying to the daughter that this was a lot of stuff that his mother said to him when he was a teenager.
Oh yeah, that whole segment, I've got a note in there that says projecting, but he comments on how the new rideshare company seems different in a lot of ways. For one, they've put in Apple Pay and they have a brand new logo. I like the description of the new logo. It's just a black box with like a white maze on it, which does seem pretty fitting for a company named Detour and does not go anywhere near where you want it to go.
Right. Yes. But the weird thing though, is that he was expecting either, I don't know, an SUV or maybe one of those long, elongated, boxy looking things. Bus, basically. Mm. But it isn't. It's a cargo truck, and they're all sitting in the cargo section, I believe, as all of this is happening. And at one point, he spots what he thinks is causing the traffic jam, which is construction. And he's like, oh, great, we're getting past it. No, we're not. We're stopping. Hang on a second. Now, before now, he had noticed that two of the people that were in the car, one was a man who was not tall, and another was a man who was not short. Like, yeah. Oh, dear. Well, one of those guys jumps out and starts helping the construction people to load all of their supplies and equipment into the cargo truck. And then they're moving ahead. So it's fine.
Yeah, in a place like Night Vale that has a vague yet menacing government agency, and these guys, we don't even know what they're from. You know, they're not part of any organization, but they do show up every once in a while, and it's always supremely creepy, and I'm pretty sure people usually die.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're tootling right along, and Cecil's looking out the window again, reporting on what he sees, and he actually sees Nazir al-Mujahid and Francis McDonald, and they're sitting on a bench, and basically, it looks like they're having a date, though Frances is having a great time. Cecil can tell she's enjoying herself and everything. And he can look at Nazir and see that Nazir is desperate for human connection with somebody who looks very much like who he wants it to be, but he knows that that's not them and they never will be. And I love how one of the commenters even said something about the fact that it's like, oh, well, it's like Francis and Nazir are getting back together because the ending of that last arc really kind of broke me. And
oh my God, that was rough. Man, I'd forgotten all about that too soon.
Yeah, I'll look up and maybe put in the show notes when that episode was, but basically like, the Francis that he's thinking of was part of a completely different world that doesn't exist anymore.
And so it's because really, of him.
Yeah, it's rough. But he's having a date with this world's version of Francis, so yay.
Yay, yay. Well, the truck made a detour. Cecil was trying to shout to the driver that they were making the wrong turn, but the driver wasn't paying attention. And then at one point, Cecil gets really startled. He's like, the man who is not short is touching me. Oh, it's a blindfold. Why didn't you tell me? And basically, Cecil is perfectly fine if he's not supposed to see something. You just have to let him know and he'll happily wear the blindfold.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to sit there and think quiet thoughts about traffic while we can sit here and think quiet thoughts about the weather. And we go to the weather. Yeah.
Now, if you've ever heard Imogen Heap's song, Hide and Seek, that is what the weather was like today. Maybe mixed in a little bit with that interesting song at the end of that Black Mirror episode, Jabberwocky, when you get to the final ending.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was called Meant by Final Peregrine. And I wrote down a cappella, close harmony. And in parentheses, it's probably auto-tuned, but it's still sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does. So we get back from the weather and Cecil is happy because they're finally returning from the desert. Yes, they went, I think, to the other side of the desert outside of Night Vale. And he had his blindfold on the whole time. So he felt that the sounds that he was hearing was all kind of boring. I mean, just he's recounting various things. He said, at one point, I think there was a fight. Oh, the man who's not short is shaking his head. Maybe it was a pickup basketball game. The man is nodding his head now. So that's what the rest of the description is Cecil trying to guess what he was hearing and getting tips about what he is and isn't allowed to say. And he's perfectly fine with that because, again, this is Night Vale.
Yeah. The one thing he does notice, he says it very quietly, that the man who is not short sitting next to him is not the same as the man who is not short that they went out to the desert with. So he is not entirely sure what's going on for there. He tries to introduce himself to the man who is not tall and the man who is not short, and they proceed to ignore his every question.
Yep. So Cecil apparently had a really nice time when they would pick up various people that he knew and they would get to chat about what's going on in their day. I think Nichelle Nguyen was really happy to be riding on a cargo truck instead of these like I can't even remember, like the kind of SUVs, I think. I don't know what the term is because I've never owned an SUV, but
no.
And I think she had some problem with how they were all one particular color that she doesn't like. I don't know. Nichelle wants experiences, but I think she really enjoys picking those experiences apart and talking about how they're not as good as they could be.
Yes. They also picked up Francis and Nazir, and Cecil was shouting over the noise of the wind and the truck bed, you know, oh, it looks like your date's going well. And Nazir starts to say, oh, it wasn't a date, but he sees a look from Francis and he kind of stops talking. I like how Cecil said he had lost confidence in what he was saying, but not in what he was doing. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet.
That is nice. I hope that works out because damn.
Yeah. And, you know, there are more people who get into the truck and they're all dressed like the man who is not short and the man who is not tall. And they're usually bringing in construction equipment. So Cecil figures maybe the rideshare company is just trying to cut costs by branching out a little bit and doing construction pickup stuff. I don't know.
But all in all, he's going to give a good review to this. I mean, yes, it took hours longer than it was supposed to. But, you know, the travel is most of the fun, not the destination, and getting to see all those people. And next time he does this, he'll know to plan ahead better. I'm like, how do you plan ahead for having to spend the entire day on the rideshare? I mean, that sort of thing just makes me itch, that idea about trying to get somewhere and it takes all day. I have nightmares about this on a routine basis that I'm like trying to get into work and it's absolutely nothing is going right. And I just know I'm going to be in trouble and I can't make it stop.
Yeah. And I also can't make my phone work. Oh, phones and dreams suck.
Yeah, they really do.
Worst. And Cecil closes it out. He said that he's getting into the station just in time for the show to end. So stay tuned for the sound of a man calling his husband to pick him up.
So that was good. That was fun. I think that was another one that it had some nice little Easter eggs for people who have listened to the show before. But if you haven't listened to the show before, it's just a nice, weird little story.
Yeah, I liked it. Okay, so moving right along. Last night, I was just wanting to watch something horror. And honestly, I was just going to look and see what Amazon had in streaming, our usual pick of stuff, like, you know, they have Event Horizon or In the Mouth of Madness or maybe The Ring or whatever. And so I just Googled their horror category and what popped up but 2005's Constantine, which I have never seen and have been meaning to. And Oh my God, I really enjoyed it.
Now, I have to say, Tilda Swinton is fantastic. And that's kind of like saying the sky is blue. She's good at everything. But she's playing an angel. It's the role she was born to play. And not just any angel, but a very terrifying angel.
She's great. Like, she's just so quietly confident and definitely insane. But yes, her face is like, it's ethereal. You know, you look at her in one respect and you're like, well, she's not traditionally beautiful. But then you look at her again and you're like, no, she's freaking gorgeous. Oh my God. She's just, and she does such a good job. And I cannot believe that this movie is almost 20 years old. The effects are off the scale. They're so good.
They're really good. I mean, everything with the wings, when you have angels that have wings, I love when they can manage to make that look realistic.
And then you have these fleeting views of what hell looks like. And it's just, it's fabulous. I mean, it's all CGI, but it's just so really, really good. I loved all of that.
Yeah, I was just seeing someone on Reddit describe what hell is like in Constantine. And it's basically like what Earth would be like if everything was blasted by nuclear fire, that kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Even like, almost like in the process of being blasted by nuclear fire, you know, it's so neat. And then, you know, spoilers, we do get to see Satan at one point. And I was reading through the IMDb trivia, bless you, IMDb trivia. And the actor, who is apparently a devout Christian, had his own ideas for what Satan should look like. And apparently, you know, the original plan was like, you know, the spiky dog collar and tattoos all over. And he was like, no, I want to do something. And he's wearing like this white linen suit, and he comes in sort of floating, and he's just, there's just tar dripping from his feet. And it is really, really super effective, especially since the actor is especially good at what he's doing. Oh my goodness.
And I thought that that was a great situation that they invented for Constantine in this. And it's probably, I'm sure this comes from the comic book originally, but it's the idea that he was cursed with visions, as, you know, and as a teenager, he couldn't handle it because it was horrible things all the time. So he committed suicide and they were able to revive him. But suicide and murder are things that will get you sent to hell. So it doesn't matter that he came back. He still gets to be punished for committing suicide. And he's tried his entire life to battle demons and everything to try to worm his way into heaven's good graces. And nothing's worked except for the fact that now hell is going to be waiting for him, and they're going to be happy when he dies because he's tormented so many of them. So I'm like, oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it was a really great setup. I will say, having read the trivia, they gave me two pieces of information about that. One, it didn't come from the comic. It was actually written for the movie. In the comic, apparently, the reason why he's damned is that he allowed a demon to possess him at one point for something that he was doing, and the demon managed to grab a young girl and drag her back to hell with him. And that's why he's damned. Yeah. The second thing they said, though, is, you know, we're not Catholic. And, you know, we went to a church when we were growing up that didn't do the hellfire and brimstone type of thing. Like, I don't remember there being a lot of like, try to be a good Christian because if you aren't, hell is waiting for you. There wasn't a lot of that in our church. But the Catholic Church in the 1980s, they actually apparently went back on their idea that suicides go immediately to hell because they have a better understanding about what mental illness and depression is like. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, our priest at church ages ago was talking with us about that, and someone had asked about suicide. And I think there had been like, God, there was a story I remember someone had told about a woman who was, you know, rooming with a guy who got feelings for her, and she didn't reciprocate, so he committed suicide and left a note saying that this was all her fault. And when Barbara was talking about suicide, she says a loving God knows the difference between somebody killing themselves to punish people and somebody killing themselves because they can't take it anymore. I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly, which definitely made me feel a lot better.
But well, like,
But also, hilariously, I had no idea that Shia LaBeouf was in this movie.
Surprise!
A really young Shia LaBeouf. I want to say, I'm going to look this up. Hang on a minute. Yep, hot. So this movie came out in 2005. The Transformers movie came out in 2007. So we can basically credit this movie with giving Shia LaBeouf a career. I mean, I'm sure he'd been doing other things, but you know.
Yeah, still. But now, Keanu Reeves,
Yeah.
It's Keanu Reeves.
It's Keanu Reeves. Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say. He's not terrible. The John Wick movies, by the way, we need to watch the next John Wick movie.
We do.
It is on our plate. Yeah. The John Wick movies are another example of, I think, a movie that sort of writes around his speaking ability. I mean, I hear he's a lovely guy. It's just, there's something about his line delivery that's just a little odd. So he's really, really good at the strong silent type movies, you know?
Yes,
that's
he is.
Where he excels. Interestingly enough, him, and another thing for IMDb trivia, him and Rachel Weisz, I guess is her name, uh-huh. who's playing opposite, they were in a movie together called Chain Reaction, which I have seen because it's always a movie that I bring up as a movie that was written around his ability because he doesn't talk for most of the movie.
Because everything else, I mean, he excels at the action.
Oh,
and
yeah,
some of these
so
scenes, like that earlier scene in the movie where he's trying to drive a demon out of this little girl and he has to use a mirror for it. And all that was just great, every bit of it.
Fantastic.
But yeah, but his line delivery, maybe not so much.
Yeah, he tries. Bless his heart. I can really see why it came from the horror category. It's funny, in my head, I don't know that I ever placed it in the horror category. Like, I knew it was definitely dark, and mm-hmm. I knew it had stuff to do with the war in heaven and everything. I think maybe in my mind, I was thinking of, like, the Hellraiser comics, which I never really read too much about. Also, the reason why they didn't call this movie Hellraiser is because Hellboy was coming out almost at the exact same time. And they were like, oh, we don't want to compete because that's going to hurt sales. We'll just call it Constantine.
Oh, so, see, that's interesting because I would have thought that they didn't call it Hellraiser because there already is a series of movies called Hellraiser.
Not Hellraiser. Hellblazer? Hang on. Yeah, crap. Sorry, my bad. John Constantine is Hellblazer.
Right.
And yes, the other movie, the horror movie with the pinhead guy, that's Hellraiser. I'm sure there's people listening to this podcast right now who've been screaming at us for the last 30 seconds. I'm sorry. I get it mixed up.
And also, we can't hear you.
Yes. But I think all this time, I think I was just, maybe I placed it in a comic book category. Like, I knew it wasn't a Marvel movie, but I guess that's where I put it. Oh my God, it's not. It is really straight out horror.
Yes, it is. All the views of hell and the what's going to be happening to Rachel Weisz's character is pretty horrific.
Oh my God, yeah, yeah. And various demons that show up. And
that
Satan.
poor guy that, like, couldn't, what was it? He couldn't drink or he couldn't absorb alcohol or something like that. And he drowns himself trying to pour alcohol down his throat. Like, that's kind of terrifying.
That was such an interesting effect. So yeah, he tries to take, he has some terrible, I don't know, revelation in the morgue, and he carries a flask with him and he's trying to drink it, but nothing's coming out of it. He's shaking and shaking it. And then he's running out of the morgue and I see the flask on the ground with a bunch of liquid around it. And I had a moment. I was like, what was that from? Oh, I don't know. And it takes a couple times. He goes in a convenience store and he's grabbing bottles and opening them, but nothing's, as far as he can see, nothing's coming out of it. And he's frantically, he's like smashing bottles and everything. And then you see him collapse to the ground and there's something coming out of his mouth. And he's like looking just so perplexed and stuff starts bubbling out. And you hear later, they're like, yeah, this guy completely drowned himself in alcohol in like under a minute. So he didn't think that he was getting any alcohol, but he was getting alcohol the whole time. That's freaking dark.
Oh, God.
But it was also our first view of like the half-breeds mm-hmm. because I think it was, I forget the character's name. It was the very debonair and, you know, businessman. He was a half-breed from hell. And he was the one, I think, who had done that. And when the guy, the priest, collapses to the ground and, you know, the alcohol is bubbling out and he just slowly dies, the guy, the cashier, the young, looks like a Latino gentleman who had been behind the cash register, he's actually down on the ground holding him and looks to be there for his final moments. And they don't say anything. There's actually like a voiceover happening where Keanu Reeves is describing what the half-breeds are because he talks about the half-breed demons and everything and what they do. And on the other side are the half-breed angels. And you see the kid's wings come up as he looks up. And I'm just like, what an image.
It's such so an good image. It gives me chills right now just to see that. Just think about that.
I mean, it's not a perfect movie. I mean, Keanu Reeves' lines notwithstanding. There's a little bit of weirdness going on with the plot every once in a while where I felt it kind of started to meander a little bit. And I wasn't entirely sure that the pieces all fit together. But it's a super entertaining watch. I wish I had watched it a long time before now. I mean, like, I know it sometimes takes us a while, but 19 years it took me.
And I have to say, the scenes in the club that Constantine goes to,
yeah.
Love all those, especially the one angel like blowing at a bunch of water goblets and they all change to wine as you're watching. And the fact that anyone who goes in has to pass the test of being able to tell psychically what's on the other side of the flashcard that somebody's holding. And Shia LaBeouf's character is trying to bluff his way through, and they're like, yeah, that's not gonna work.
No, I did like the what is it, Dr. Midnight or Papa Midnight, character. And he goes into a room at one point. The sets are really stunning in this, and he goes into this room and it just looks to be all this kind of like archaic religious paraphernalia and statues and everything, and it's hard to describe. It just looked really good. I was really impressed. The more I think about it, it's one of those movies, like when it sits with you for a little bit, you like it more, which is great. Cause it's like the opposite of like Michael Bay's first Transformers movie, where the longer it sat with you, you're like, well, I don't like that at all. This one, I'm like, yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
And did you watch the end credit scene?
I did.
Good.
And so people asked about that. Okay. Major spoilers. If you haven't seen it, and you can just, you know, jump forward about 5 or 6 minutes and we won't, but yeah, he goes to put his lighter because he's not smoking anymore. Because at the end of the movie, you see him look like he's going to take another cigarette out, and he actually takes out some gum, and I'm like, ah, that's great. So end credit scene, he goes to put the lighter on Shia LaBeouf's gravestone, and then he turns to walk away.
And then you see Shia LaBeouf appear, and now he's an angel, a half-breed. I don't know how that works, but now he's alive again.
Yep. And so he just sort of like smiles, and he has that little glow in his eyes that all the half-breeds do, and he like rockets up into the air. And I don't know, Keanu Reeves' character was like, okay, and walks away. And I did read up, some people were wondering what that meant. There's an idea that some people thought that maybe he had been an angel all along, because that look in his eye was kind of knowing. I think in the official novelization, what they say is, no, he, because of his sacrifice and what he was doing, he's been turned into a half-breed. And so that's what he is. And I'm like, either way, I was just like, because I was feeling bad. He had, you know, gotten an attaboy from Constantine and thought he had done so well, and then he gets brutally murdered by Gabriel. So, wow.
Yeah, I remember growing up and being rather surprised that angels were not really good people who had died and gone to heaven. That angels was something completely separate from humanity.
Yeah. But in this case, I guess they need an exception. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah. So yeah, totally fun.
Well, the what have I watched? I actually watched the first two episodes of the second season of Star Trek Lower Decks.
And yes.
I'm enjoying that. I love the fact, and I was wondering about this, that Boimler went to Riker's ship. But Boimler's not an adventurer, not really. And Riker absolutely is. I mean, they showed the end of the first episode when they're like about to dive into this huge warp in space, whatever, and everything's getting twisted around. And you see Riker as his face is being twisted. I love my job.
He's so fun. Oh, my God.
But then you see some more of that in the second episode. And like they finish up this huge battle where everybody almost dies, and you flash back to the bridge and everybody's just like cheering and high-fiving and chest bumping, and Boimler's just sitting there and the only thing's moving is his eye as it twitches.
Poor guy. He thought he got what he wanted, but he doesn't really want any of that.
But then, I mean, of course they do the whole the transporter clone thing, like what happened to Riker, and now Boimler's got a clone, but Boimler's clone seems to be a little bit more cutthroat and adventurous than Boimler is, so he's going to stay with Riker, and Boimler goes back to the Cerritos. So I'm like, yay, we're back to where it was.
Yeah, I like how they, it's like sort of doing a reset on the timeline on that one, but it does make a lot. He is bummed that he's being sent back, because it's like he's not wanted, but I think in his heart of hearts, he knows that the Cerritos is where he belongs.
Yeah, everybody welcomes him back. Let me see. Tendi and Rutherford are still best friends. They just decided they were going to be best friends, even though he didn't remember her at all, and all of that seems to be fine, although Tendi spent, I think, most of the first episode of the second season, like, trying to brutalize Rutherford into changing back into the person he was, who doesn't like pears and didn't want to date this one ensign. So, yeah, but he was perfectly fine with it because she tried to use science to deal with a problem.
Yeah, those two are so fun. Oh, my goodness. Also, I just realized the other day, if I'm right, so I was listening to the Comfort Blanket podcast. They did an episode about The Good Place. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. Only listen to it if you are okay with getting spoiled, because they do all the spoilers on it. But they were playing audio clips from the episodes. And Jason, you remember his best friend that he was hanging out with on Earth all the time?
Mm-hmm.
That is the voice of Rutherford. And I was like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my God, it's Rutherford. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, well, I've been watching several episodes of the final season. I think three have been released so far. And it is definitely fun. And
oh good.
I hope they find, there's a, somebody followed the Binary System podcast account on Instagram, and it is something like Save Lower Decks. And they are trying really hard to push for somebody else picking up the show, which is not unheard of. I mean, God knows how many different networks did Futurama travel around to every time it got
right?
canceled. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe I'm such a cynic about that. I mean, once they've canceled a show, I'm usually like, well, that's just how it goes, I suppose. And there's a lot of people who are less cynical who are like, I don't know, we can at least try and save it.
I want it to be, if it's ending now, I want it to be like BoJack Horseman, that they definitely seem to have had a plan for the arc of the story. And that's what I want, because I don't like things going on endlessly. And when you're waiting basically for it to start getting bad as everybody gets tired of making it,
exactly.
Which to me, I guess it's not fair to say that's what Simpsons is like, but Simpsons has been around for so long that like, every generation has a block of episodes that they think are the cool Simpsons. Cause then, you know, anything before that is too old, and anything newer than that, oh, it's not the same. And I'm definitely falling to that. And I would hate for that to happen to Star Trek Lower Decks, cause it's just so fun.
Yeah. And at least, I mean, they went into the season. I mean, as far as I know, they went into the production of this season knowing that it was the final season. So that would say that they've got 10 episodes to do something very cool. So fingers crossed if it is going to be the end. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good. This show has maintained a pretty consistent quality over all the seasons. So I'm sure it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Ask me if I did a comic book review this week.
Have you done a comic book review this week?
I have not. The current plan is I'm going to do a giant catch-up post where I do 2 issues of The Magic Order, 3 issues of a comic called Prodigy, an issue of Sacrificers, and whatever other comic books that I've been reading that I have been meaning to review and haven't gotten around to it. So look out for that. I don't know, eventually.
Well, we're still in the middle of the Dragonfall drawing challenge, and it's only 3 days in at time of this recording, and I'm already tired, but I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, and it's really cool because our friend Wade is also participating, and so he's done a few, and Leland has done one. I knew he was going to do that one. His mother was of Spanish descent, and the first day was Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, and so of course he had to do a Dia de los Muertos dragon, and it looked very good.
It did. It really did. Yes.
Oh, well, I love Wade's ones. Yesterday was actually a mashup. It was the Desert Nomad, so the weapon, if you look at it, the weapon that it's holding is actually like one of the sand people from Star Wars, and then the rest of the costume is based on, I forget which one of that movie it was, with Sean Connery, who's like in the desert, and he's just practically naked wearing like a, I don't know, a cup or whatever. And it's just like, I was looking at it going, God, that looks familiar. Oh, it's the Sean Connery thing. So it's very, very fun.
Yeah. Today, at time of this recording, is Time Travelers. I was thinking really hard about doing something for Ray Bradbury's story, The Sound of Thunder, or A Sound of Thunder, that time travel thing where they come back and a fascist has won the presidency. And I decided I didn't want to jinx anything, because at the time of this recording, we don't actually know what's happening on Tuesday. So at the time the episode drops, everyone will find out.
Yep. We now know how the election turned out. So there's that.
So,
man, this is going to be a weird time capsule going back and listening to this episode. It's like, oh, before we knew which way the election was going to go. Ah, oh, my gosh. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, no Night Vale. So we will try and catch up on some more stuff. I don't know. You know, maybe we'll watch that John Wick episode. I don't know.
Maybe. It could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, but one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
sorry, hang on one second. Cat ripped the headphones out of my ears. I was sitting here, I was like, Cat, stop. If you're going to be here, but chill. And talk about, hang on, Cat, ow, that hurt. No, stop. Like, oh, ow, what are you doing? God, she's so crazy. Go, no, go.